Good morning and welcome. It's very blessed, as I mentioned before, in my prayer to God that we have the opportunity to come here this morning. And so I want to welcome you, to thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning. I am very excited for the lesson I'm to bring. But as I often say, and as I ask this morning, if I say anything that is contradictory or contrary to God's word, that if you would be a brother or sister in Christ to me and come and please let me know, as I my intentions this morning is to deliver a lesson from God's word as God intended, and not to add anything of my own devices to it. So welcome. This morning I'm going to be giving a lesson that I heard a while back that I really enjoyed. It's something I could not have put in better words, but it's something I feel that everyone here this morning will relate to. It's something that could potentially give us some keys to success in dealing with this issue. It feels like every time I've gotten up and preached recently, it's been on things of emotion, such as joy, love, happiness. And so I guess this lesson will further that. Because this morning I'm going to be talking about guilt. So the lesson this morning is entitled Overcoming Guilt, or Getting Rid of Guilt. I think this is an important lesson, and I feel it's very important for me to give a lesson. But as recently as a couple of months ago, I was talking to a Christian, and we were talking about times of weakness in faith, and they said, so something that overcomes me a lot of times is the guilt that comes with my sin. I don't often feel like I can overcome it. It's not something I can rid easily. It's something that can easily consume me. And so with that thought in mind, it made me further want to do this lesson on guilt. And as I believe this morning, there may be some here today, or out amongst you, people that you may know, other Christians, this lesson is designed specifically for Christians, that their guilt is hampering the cause of Christ, and this guilt is often unnecessary. And so that's what I'd like to talk about this morning, overcoming guilt. And I would like to start with a verse. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. If we condemn ourselves with our guilt, know that God is greater and knows all things. This is a lesson that can be very tough for us sometimes in handling our emotions and our guilt. And so this morning I would like to give just 2 points. First, God's remedy for guilt and what He has done. And then I'd like to give some example of God's remedy for guilt to applied sinners. As we all know, we're all sinners, and so I'd like to look at some examples of those who overcame their guilt and some lessons that we can learn on their experiences with their sin and guilt. As I talk about guilt this morning, in our first point, God's remedy for guilt. Guilt in the Bible is a judicial term. In the sense that we'll be using is a bit different this morning. We know verses like Psalm 109:7, a man may be judged and found guilty. And other scriptures such as Leviticus chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, talks about the guilt of an unclean sacrifice. And so it's not necessarily the term I use this morning of guilt is that of a judicial sense, but of a different sense. And so our concept of feeling guilty in the Bible, and what I mean this morning, is described as a consciousness of sins. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. So we'll turn there first. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. I'll use a mixture of turning with my Bible and with my phone, as I have quite a few scriptures this morning. But we'll look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. To start our text. For if the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very imagine of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then they would not offer cease to be offered, For the worshippers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible the blood of bulls and goats could take away their sins. And so, the feeling guilty or having no consciousness in the consciousness of sins is kind of the realm of what I'm talking about this morning. Guilt or consciousness is a necessity for us as Christians, but it's not something, and what I would like to talk about this morning, it's something I don't want it to overcome us. And so that's really the concept and the thought behind our lesson this morning. Those who often leave the faith, as we can attest many of us here this morning who have known personally family or friends to leave the faith, typically have their conscience seared. So as to do with the consciousness of sins, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 is another verse that I like to look at that talks about this. And so, as I turn, I'd like to also make another point. Today's society handles guilt very differently. My generation, millennials, we really stray, not we, but people of the world, they really stray away from guilt. Instead of the guiltiness of doing wrong or wrongdoing, the younger generations that I've grown up with, they like to don't feel guilty about that. Love. You need to feel love and don't worry about what you feel is doing wrong. You're doing right in your eyes. And so guilt is really not portrayed in my generations as much so. And I heard that recently from a young lady on YouTube. One of the sites was trying to give a message of hope for young people, and she was saying the first thing that people often do is they just feel guilty about the things they're doing wrong. I need to tell you to put away that. Don't have any guilt for the things you're doing. Understand what you care about and what makes you happy is ultimately what matters the most. And that is a thought process that is becoming more and more prevalent. And so this point is further elaborated on, as we know, and it goes right along with what today's society believes. And so in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, moving along, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctors of demons. And this is for those, I'm talking about those who have their conscience seared, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from the foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who truly believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. It is received with thanksgiving. And so as the point I was trying to make and I like to make is people will leave the faith, and I hope this morning you're not in this stance or close to it, usually have your conscience seared. People of the world don't like guilt. When a Christian or when a brother or sister falls away, if you've ever had a lapse in your faith or you've ever had issues with temptation, trials, and sin, your guilt seems to wane. It really kind of falls by the wayside. And I've seen instances, and I don't know if this is something everyone relates to, but to the point where you have a brother or sister, and you go to talk to them, and they even put it onto the church to feel guilty for the sins they've committed. To the level of the strain, their conscience is seared to where they want you to feel guilty for trying to help to bring them back into the fold of God. And so it's a very serious thing that we need to consider amongst ourselves. I read a minute ago, and the blood of animals could not remove the sin or the feeling of guilt. And so the last point I want to make on this first point is, what is God's remedy for guilt? How do we overcome this emotion of guilt that can so easily ensnare us to the point to where we cannot return or it may hamper our cause of Christ? Well, Jesus' blood removes guilt, enabling us to draw to God with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:24. And we know other scriptures that we can turn to. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 14 Jesus' blood can will remove our guilt, enabling us to draw bear to God with a true heart, a full assurance. Know that through Jesus' death, our conscience can be cleaned. For when we sin and our conscience has the potential to be seared, we can ask forgiveness. We need to understand our sins, confess those, and ask forgiveness of those sins. As we partook of the emblems earlier that represent Jesus' death on the cross, we now have an opportunity to have forgiveness of our sins. And think of guilt as well. As I don't want to portray too long on this feeling of consciousness, but we must enable the blood of Jesus as you become a Christian, as you are washed and baptized, to not carry those sins further into your life. And so that's kind of something that can stay with us as Christians years past. I've seen Christians who commit heinous sins, maybe some Christians who are in prison or committed crimes and have been baptized. Well, they have not let their sins become washed away. And later we found that their conscience has overcome them with the sins of their past. And so it became a lack of faith in the washing away of their sins. So that's a bit of more of an extreme, but take that and apply it to our lives today in any sense in which you may sin in evaluating your conscience. And I can't say this again or more. I'm not saying we shouldn't have a conscience or have any guilt. For guilt is like our check engine light, right? So if your conscience is seared or you're going through life and you know things may be heading down a worldly path or your faith may not be strong as you want to, you do need a conscience to kind of be there as your check engine light to life. And so that's God's remedy for guilt, as we're very fortunate to be able to overcome our sins. And so the second point, and this is a rather short lesson I will tell you this morning, is I'd like to go through some examples of God's remedy for guilt applied to sinners. The first example I would like to look at is Saul of Tarsus. And through him, and what he was able to do is accepting grace with faith and love. As we know in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, if you would please turn there with me. First Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a prosecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, who I am chief. Although he had been a chief of sinners, Paul experienced the Lord's grace with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, as we read here. And we should take these lessons and accounts in the Bible and just be so grateful for these examples we have. We talked about Job this morning. We saw Paul's account and we saw the beginning and the end. We're able to learn from that and apply it to our lives and understand the magnitude of sins he had, as he proclaimed here. And as we know, and his experience, and we can apply that with our guilt and our sin. And so it's a great comfort and example we have to know that, as I said before, the extremes of the sin in which had been committed did not let Paul's conscience to overcome him. Imagine Paul's, did Paul have guilt? Do we think Paul, imagine his guilt that he had. He probably had guilt. I would think so. He had guilt. Let's look at Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 11. Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 11. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. I punished them in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them to foreign cities. Is there guilt there? There is. Imagine his guilt. Did he live with it? I don't believe so. I don't believe this guilt consumed him. I'd like to put into your mind a thought here. I believe Paul was comforted as a Christian. Because think about this. Paul one day is comforted in thought that he was set free of his sin. And think of Stephen. Stephen in heaven. Paul, who Stephen fell to the feet of Saul of Tarsus. Think of Stephen and Paul comforted, both being in heaven one day. What great magnitude that is. That was something, I guess, when it came to consciousness and guilt, something I never really thought of. Sometimes we don't think about the long-term effects are our heavenly home one day and those who are there. But that's very comforting to me when I may struggle with sin or guilt that I might have in this life. Just think about this situation here with Paul and his past and how he overcame his guilt and was comforted for his home in heaven one day. That's really strengthening and encouraging to me. And I hope that point can encourage you as well. Next person I would like to look at is David. I know David is coming from the Old Testament here, but David, in confessing his sin, so we just talked about Saul of Tarsus, how he accepted grace with faith and love and overcoming his guilt. Now we're going to talk about David and confessing his sin. I think it's very important to confess your sins. As we know, David sinned against the Lord and laying with Bathsheba, and he admitted this sin. David admitted his sin when rebuked. I've sinned against the Lord, 2 Samuel 12:13. I think it's very important for us. It's very important in your process of overcoming guilt to confess those sins, to understand that you know what you've done or what you struggle with is wrong. Confess those sins. They say, you know, different steps are processed to overcoming drug addiction, alcoholism. A lot of things is admitting to it or acknowledging. Well, that's, in this sense, would it be accurate as well? Isn't it a heavy weight to carry sin with you? Confessing that, confiding that in the Lord, asking for forgiveness, what a weight can be lifted from that. Confessing your sin is very important and critical of letting go of guilt. He asked God, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always behind you." Is always behind me. Excuse me. The same applies for us today. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to have a humble heart and the willingness to confess our sins. But once we've done that, we've prayed to God. We need to be comforted and know that sin is forgiven. We cannot let that eat at us and linger at our conscience. Let that guilt overcome us. I know these things are easier said than done, but nonetheless, I hope that they can weigh heavily on your heart to understand the freedom and the cleanliness of your conscience that you should live with daily as a Christian. Last example I'd like to look at is Peter. Peter leaving the world behind and living for the Lord. What a powerful encounter this is of Peter's guilt. Peter had been influenced by worldly pressure to deny the Lord. Let's look at that in Matthew chapter 26. This is an account we all know very well. Matthew chapter 26. We know in verses 31 through 56, but I would like to look at 69 through 75 when Peter committed the acts of sinning against the Lord three times, which we know earlier in that account Jesus told him he would do. Excuse me, I am fighting a cold this morning, so I apologize if I cough. Now Peter sat outside the courtyard. A servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," but he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I did not know the man." A little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. He knew what he had did was wrong. He let those around him, those surrounded by him, who despised Jesus, he let them influence and say things that he knew would bring him utter guilt. I ask that question of you today. Do you often find yourselves saying things that you later ultimately regret so much, and that guilt can consume you? I ask you to be cautious and learn from these examples. Well, what was Jesus' response later? We're so fortunate and blessed to see this picture. Let's now look at John chapter 21. John chapter 21. We know after Jesus was risen, we look in John chapter 21, and we have this account later. And Jesus seeing Peter again. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And this now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples, that was as he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of Jonah, "Do you love me more than these?" He asked, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him again, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things that you know that I love you." Why do you think Jesus did that? How about the grief, the guilt that was bared, and Jesus ensuring Peter that he needed, sometimes we need to say it, "I confess my sins. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord." To overcome our guilt. Sometimes that's what we need. What a great example we have here. How do we know Peter's response was later in his life as he continued to live on and follow Jesus? He would later say that the child of God should no longer should live the rest of his life, of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God, for we have spent time, enough of our past time in doing the will of the Gentiles. 1 Peter 4, 2 and 3. Learn from our past life mistakes. Understand, as you are forgiven and you are confess those sins and forgiven, that you can move on to live your life for the Lord. Do not let guilt hamper the cause of Christ. In closing, our lives should not be ridden with guilt, filled with thanksgiving to whom He who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Fight. Do not wallow. Do not wallow in your guilt. Fight your sins. Fight your guilt. Because the cost of Christ will be unnecessarily hampered by guilt. Guilt is a necessity. We need it. We need our conscience. Knowing right from wrong is very important. Rightly dividing the Word of God, applying it to our lives is very important. But in your sins, in your guilt, once you've been made free of those sins and forgiven, let those wash away from you. Do not carry those burdens. The weight is too heavy for you to bear. That is not what Christ intended for us. I hope these thoughts have been beneficial this morning. I know this lesson is a rather short one on guilt, but I think it's so important. It's very, very important. I've talked a lot from the perspective this morning of a Christian dealing with their sin, having the opportunity to be confessed and be forgiven of that sin by God. But God has a plan for you. If you're not a Christian, are you living in the guilt of a sinner? One who has not obeyed God's plan yet, plan of salvation. As you evaluate your life, I've gone over some things we can do this morning to rid us of our guilt. And what a freeing and excellent feeling that is. But we're offered those things as Christians. So I ask you, are you a Christian? Have you made the decision to follow God? We know there are things that must be done. First, you need to hear the gospel. Recognize your condition. Have faith in God. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be faithful unto death. What a freeing feeling it is to not be overcome and to live with guilt as a Christian. It's something I hope that I can share with you, that you can share with others, because it's an excellent thing to abide with, to be with while we're here in this world. I hope this has been beneficial to you, and I thank you for your time. If you have any need, if you need to become a Christian at this time, or if the guilt you've been carrying is just too heavy, you need to ask for forgiveness of that sin before your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to pray for you. We now offer this time as we stand and as we sing.